This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Oh, I am so glad to be back again. People say, what is the Sue Freeze Show? And I say it's about the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connecting with people. People impact our lives both positively and negatively, and we then have a choice whether to react or respond. Our life is guided by our choices, which are based on our beliefs. Wisdom comes when we learn from our mistakes and those who have gone before us. Leverage all of this to take a chance. Share your life experiences to create wisdom for another person's life, to plant a seed, dare to make a difference, to live your life on purpose, for a purpose. Do we know what that purpose is? I think every day is a journey. Our life is a journey. And we need to be searching and asking, what is our purpose? Why did God create me? Why did God create you? Today we have a special guest. His name is Mike Hunter. And he brings wealth of leadership, management ability, and business development experience into sharp focus. Having both built several entrepreneurial firms and having served in senior management positions, as a business development consultant, executive business coach, and talented presenter, facilitator, author, with over 20 years' experience, he has led the implementation of many organizational transformation programs in a wide variety of client businesses around the world. Throughout his career, Mike Hunter has purposely developed a unique mixture of capabilities in business development, education, psychology, communication, and organization leadership, and focused these skills in an integrated way on the business performance improvement needs of his clients. Today, Mike Hunter and Sue Freeze are going to talk about authenticity. Are you there, Mike?
I'm here.
I am so glad you're there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I hear you're on the way to the airport. You're a busy guy.
Well, yeah. It's travel's part of the game.
Yes, it is. And what game is that?
Game of life, game of business, the game of personal achievement. And, I try to blend those both, all those together as best I can in some of the programs that we do and some of the speaking that we do and some of the writing that we do. And I was listening to the intro to your show, I just thought, boy, there's a real symbiosis here between the kinds of things that Sue is interested in talking about and the kinds of things that we talk about to audiences all over the country and all over the world, actually.
Yeah, you came to a company a meeting that we had just, I think it was yesterday you were there, and I'll tell you, my employees just loved, they were all so into it. You know, you can tell when people are into things, and they were totally focused and into what you were saying, and I think you really impacted their lives, and I think that's what your heart is that you want to impact and help people with their journey to be better than they were the day before. Would you agree?
I would agree wholeheartedly. That's exactly what our mission and our purpose is in our company and what I strive to do personally with my writing and my speaking and my presentation.
So let's just get right into this, okay? Because people are listening and they're saying, yeah, we need this. You know, people just aren't who we think they are. They put on an air or a front of being one person when really there's somebody completely different. There's a country song out right now. And it says, who are you when I'm not looking? And it's true.
That.
Yeah, it's a great country song. I love country music. So what is personal authenticity and what does it do for us?
Well, one of the things that led us here to start talking about this is we found that the society that we're living in today, at least American society, is fairly superficial and is fairly artificial. You know, people like to avoid confrontation, avoid discussion. I'm finding that I get more emails today than I do return phone calls just because people don't want to take the time to be real. It's much easier to write somebody something, a quick note on an email, or to respond that way than it is personal contact. And as I've worked with businesses and business owners, one of the things we're finding is that it's very common for business owners today to be very, very artificial in terms of the way they present themselves, the way they present their companies, the way they present themselves to employees and customers. It's very pretentious. Everybody's pretending to be and do something they're not. And, you know, sometimes I just want to say, guys, get real, okay? People will buy from you, work with you, work for you, work cooperatively with you, want to be in a relationship with you if they just sense there's somebody real there. You know, they could take the bad news that goes with that. There is bad news, but they'd much rather you be honest and be real and be fresh. And so to us, we believe that personal authenticity really embodies several characteristics. I think an authentic person or an authentic leader in business is one who has, number one, a passion for their purpose. They understand what they're there for and who they are. They practice and live out their values. They don't just talk about them or put them out there on their brochureware. They lead from the heart with a passion, and they develop relationships with people. They want to relate with people, not avoid relationships, and they build a self-discipline in their life and in their practices and the way they do things that get results. So it's really a focal point of bringing those several characteristics together. And people, I think, relate better to you if you, again, are real and authentic as opposed to some poster boy or poster child that seems unapproachable or not like me. I mean, you can see this very clearly when you ask people in the colloquialism that we throw out when somebody asks us how we're doing. If we respond, oh, we're doing great, thanks, everything's just fine, well, then people say, fine, okay, great, we'll just go on to the next part of the conversation. But if you get real one day and say, I'm not doing so fine, or things aren't good, or I've got some issues, boy, people run for the hills faster than you can imagine because they don't want to deal with the fact that, you know, you're not great. They might have to put themselves out or have to reach out or have to relate in a different way than just the superficiality. So I think authenticity is a crying need in our society at the leadership level in business, at the government leadership level certainly, because there's a lot of pretending that goes on there about what's going on.
That's for sure.
And personally, I like it better when I can say, hey, I know who you are. And guys, I got to say, one of the things I enjoy working with you on, Sue, is the fact that I just feel you're real. I really like your approach to leading your business. I really like your approach to relationships. And I feel I can talk with you at a gut level about most everything because, you know, you don't pull any punches. You basically say, this is who I am. This is who you're dealing with. And, you know, let's get on with it. So
yes.
I really appreciate that about you.
Well, you know, some people do appreciate it, and there's people that don't know what to do with it because, seriously, you know, I mean, I tell people, thank you. First of all, thank you very much for that. I take that as a compliment, Mike, and I appreciate that you respect that and like it that way because there's people in business that don't know what to do with me sometimes. They just like, whoa, you know, and sometimes with employees and other people. And in the business world, I think sometimes we have to switch gears and sometimes I don't switch quick enough. So when I'm in a social setting, I might still have my business hat on. So have to be careful. But I believe I am who I am. You know, I don't pretend to be something I'm not. That is for sure. We are listening to The Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5. And if you're interested in calling in, we've had people call in the past, and sometimes it wouldn't be relevant enough to the topic. So when I ask for people to call, people do call, but not always do we feel it's in the best interest of the topic to put them on the air. But if you feel that what you have to say is going to make a difference in someone else's lives, then please do not hesitate to call in and talk to us right now, because you know what? There might be other people that are facing the same issues you are, that have thought things but don't want to say it out loud because maybe they're all alone when they're really not. The phone number to call would be 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552. I got to get that in some type of musical thing so I can even remember that number. Anyway, moving right along, you know, when you were talking, Mike, what came to mind is belief. Believing, because you want to believe in somebody, and I will believe in somebody. I really have a lot of trust for people until they do something to cause me to not. And once somebody does something that causes me not to trust them, I'm done, or I have such a flag or a wall up to guard myself from any future pain, hurt. Because when someone does something that's says something that's not true or whatnot, it hurts, doesn't it?
Sure.
Right. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So it's really important that people be real. And even if real is negative, we need to walk alongside one another. So if I'm not feeling good today and you asked me, how am I feeling? I would tell you truthfully. I wouldn't probably go into great detail. And if it was real personal, I might, you know, be conscientious about what I'm saying. But I might say, you know what? I'm not a 10 today. Yesterday I was a 10, but today I'm only a 7 on a scale from 1 to 10. And I think that's healthy. I think it's good. And I think if more people were more engaged and took a temperature gauge, even in marriage, I think it's an important question to ask your spouse to say, how am I doing, wife? How am I doing, husband, as your wife? How am I doing? If you were going to rate me from 1 to 10, where do I fit? And, you know, sometimes we think we're being a 10 and we might be just a 5, and it's a real shock when they say a 5. But then the next question is crucial, isn't it? The next question would be, what can I do? And this can be in business, too, with your employees and whatnot. What can I do to take this 5 that you say I am? What is it you need me to do to bring this from a 5 to a 10? And then sit quiet and wait for the answer.
I absolutely 100% agree. I think that one of the reasons we don't ask those questions is because we don't want the answer that's coming, which we think will require something from us. It'll require us to stretch ourselves. It'll require us to reach out. It'll require us to get involved. And we're just so doggone busy. You know, we have a tyranny of the urgent mentality in America. We're just so doggone busy. I mean, I get these people that tell me, I get 500 emails a day. And I'm saying, well, man, you better do something about that. There's no way you can answer 500. And it robs your time for some of the more important things that you ought to be doing instead of looking at emails. So, you know, if you're that busy that you can't reach out and make a phone call or you can't do what you need to do, then you got a time management problem and something that needs to be looked at because, you know, somebody might require something of you that day and God may have you be a ministering angel to them. Or want you to meet a need, or want you to relate to them. You know, I used to travel with Bill Bright when I was with Campus Crusade for Christ, and Bill had a saying that said, I'm always available for God's divine appointments, and I believe I have some every day. And a lot of people don't have time for those divine appointments because they're just so busy that it's much easier to filter those out. And so part of the idea of being authentic and being real is being available.
You are so right. You know, God doesn't want us or desire for us to be perfect. He's not asking that of us, but he's asking us to be available and to be a servant. And so if we say, okay, God, I'm an open vessel, that means you have to say no sometimes. That's been a difficult thing for me to say no because I always say yes. So I've learned how to say no. And I think there's a lot of people out there that need to just say no sometimes.
Well, and people can take the no if it's an honest no. What they can't take is the brush off.
Oh, that's true.
A lot of times people don't want to take the time for a phone call or take the time for a discussion or take the time because they're afraid there's a no in there somewhere and they don't want to hear the no.
So why do you think people are afraid to be real people? What do you think that is? What's causing people to be afraid to be real?
Well, one of the things is we're not quite sure where to get our direction from sometimes. There is a lot of pull in the world and in society, and it's kind of like we teach a management course in our company for companies called, Finding Your True North. And there was actually a book called Finding Your North Star written by Martha Beck a few years ago, who is an author and a business professional consultant that writes a lot for business women. And then there was a fellow named Bill George that wrote a book a few years ago called True North. And I love both those books because they had some great ideas in them about authenticity, but they use the imagery of the North Pole or the North Star as kind of a centering point, because that's one of the constants in navigation. And I picked up on that. We use that in our seminars and in our workshops to illustrate a point. And the point is this, that if you're a navigator or a pilot, you know that geographically on the Earth there is a North Pole. There is a geographic north. But that's not what navigators and pilots use to find their way around the Earth. They use something called magnetic north. The Earth has a magnetic crust in it that causes compasses to deviate. So when your compass is pointing north, it's not pointing to geographic actual north. It's pointing to magnetic north, which is several degrees off of true north. And I liken that to the pull of society on us as people. There is, I believe, for us each individually, a true north. And that true north is made up of what we believe ourselves to be and who we believe ourselves to be and the code of conduct and the values that we follow. And that comes from our knowledge of ourselves and our purpose and our values and our mission on the earth. It comes from the scripture. It comes from our spiritual connection and our spiritual center. That points us toward true north. But what happens is we get pulled off course by the pull of society and what society says is proper and correct and what the values and norms ought to be as people. And sometimes we get pulled in that direction. We deviate from our true north by getting pulled by society's values and what society says we ought to adhere to. At the same time, we also have our own personal vices, sin, as the Bible calls it, that pulls us off of true north. So those are the two biggest influences on us that pull us away from really being the kind of people and being authentic that God would have us be, the forces of society and our own personal failings.
I wasn't sure where you were going for a little bit, but now I think I'm getting it. I think I understand where you're going with that, and I totally agree with that. I think that sometimes we look at the dollar versus where our passion is. You know, I really enjoy doing this over here, but this is only going to bring this much when I've got a family to support, so I need to do this over here, which I don't really enjoy too much, and it's really not my gift. So I understand what you're saying there. This is the Sue Free Show, 99.5 KKLA. Mike, are you there? I thought I lost him. I lost Mike. I was hoping that wouldn't happen, but it did happen. So with that, I'm going to go to something I've been wanting to share for a while we're trying to get him back on the air. He's on a cell phone on the way to the airport. I want to read a letter that I have that I've been saving because I just love this letter. And this is for everybody listening out there, and it's a letter from your Heavenly Father. My dear child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider, and I met your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope. That's all I'm going to read right now, and I've got more to go because I think we have Mike back on. Are you there, Mike?
I'm here.
I'm so glad. You left me and just went dead.
I know. I'm back now, though.
That's so good. I'm so glad. So what are some of the characteristics of personal authenticity?
Well, I think there are five characteristics that I look at.
Okay, wait a minute. Everybody get your pen and paper. I'm ready.
Okay. Everybody get your pen poised?
Yep. Let's go.
Okay. Well, I think there's five things. You know, the first of those is a very clear understanding of your purpose. You know, understanding, you know, what God has for you, who you are. And, you know, a lot of us, we just don't think about that much. We think about a lot of other things, but understanding yourself and your passions and what's important to you and letting those motivate you and being in line with God's plans for you are important. You know, in Jeremiah it says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity. And get this, he says, to give you a future and a hope. And so God has a plan for our lives, and we need to be in sync with that, but it's hard to be in sync with that if we don't know and don't take the time to really sit down and figure out what we're doing on the planet and what our purpose is. If we're a business person, what's our purpose in business? If we're a business leader, what's our leadership consist of, and what's God given us the ability to lead for? If we're an individual out there in the world as just a solid citizen, what is our purpose in the world? We're not just here for nothing. And so we need to have an understanding and a clear purpose. That's point number one. Point number two would be we need to really define our values and be clear on what our values are and not take those values from the world. Those are the things that cause us to deviate from true north. We need to have and understand our deeply held beliefs and let those beliefs guide our actions and be what we say and do what we say, not just pretend to be something and represent some values that we don't truly intend to honor. So it's not what you say, it's what you do under pressure that really defines your values. So that's number two, is having clearly defined values that we're operating by, both in the workplace and, you know, when we're around family and friends and out in the world. The third of those is having a passionate heart and passion for our work, passion, not just showing up for work and doing a half-baked job because we're getting paid money, but really having a passion to really add value and really be of value. Having compassion for those we serve. You know, if you're serving people, if you're in a service business or if you're in a business that serves people in some form, most of us are, it's really having compassion for those people and understanding them, and sometimes they complain and sometimes they don't like what we do, but being able to respond well in those situations and have empathy for them and to work through the difficult times when there are difficult times with a passionate heart. So those three characteristics really provide, you know, an orientation for our personal compass towards true north. And then the other two, which is enduring relationships, that's number four. The Bible says very clearly that we are part of a body of people and that we are to serve and that we have gifts that enable us to serve well and that we need other people to operate and cooperate with us. We also need a personal support system. One of the things you asked earlier, Sue, about why we get derailed or why we don't live an authentic life is because we're not accountable to people. I think we need to have a personal accountability system that is more than just, you know, a paycheck or more than just, the fact we get to keep our job or we get asked to leave. I think our personal accountability system has to be some people who love us and trust us and who can be honest with us and tell us when we're messing up or when we're about to mess up or when we're off base or when we're not living out our values and our principles and to our purpose. So enduring relationships is the fourth characteristic. And the last one, really, that I think is very, very important is what I call persistent self-discipline. You know, Paul said, I subdue my body and make it my slave so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And in 1 Timothy, he said, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. I think persistent self-discipline as a characteristic of an authentic person helps you live out your standards and forms the basis of your accountability and ensures that you will continue growth. The reason I phrase it, we just call it self-discipline. Now we call it persistent self-discipline because it's awful hard, matter of fact, nigh impossible to be consistently disciplined in all things. There are days when I get off my diet and want to eat that jelly donut. You know, and there are days when I don't want to go out and exercise, and there are days when I don't want to pray, and there are days when, you know, I just don't want to be the light and the salt in the world that God would have me be. But that's okay. I'll do it tomorrow, and I'll get back on track, and I won't give up and won't just say it doesn't work or the Christian life doesn't work because I had a bad day. or I had a bad experience, or I slipped up. We all slip up. We're flawed, insecure creatures.
Yes, we are. Yes,
so
we are.
Those are the five characteristics, I think, that make us an authentic person that people want to be around.
I think that is fantastic, and I wrote those down, and I'm sure there's people out there that are, wrote that down too. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show and Mike Hunter on 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
Okay, so I was talking to him on the break, and we were having a great conversation. Mike, you still there? Okay, good. Phew. Sometimes I hang up on people and it scares me. Anyway, so you were talking about the five characteristics, and I wrote them down. And the first one you said, I'm going to go back to that just for a minute, because I think, you know, my kids, when they were growing up, I kept telling them, you know, that God created them for a specific purpose, and I couldn't wait. Well, I could, but I couldn't wait to see what God was going to do in their lives, because I know I was given them, and they are a gift from heaven, and they were given to me for a period of time, and that I was supposed to do my part to guide them and to love them the best I could, but there's going to come a time where they're just going to blossom. They're like this little bloom, and they're going to blossom, and they already have, and they love the Lord, and it's just very exciting. And I think that there's mothers out there or fathers out there that really could take a chance or reach out to their children and say words of encouragement and love and all of those good things. Because when I'm at a store and I hear a mother go, "Oh, you're such a, you know," or, "Oh, you always do that," or those types of things, I think we need to check our words. And I think words are so important. Action has to follow. And I agree with you there. Words are empty if they're not followed with action. And that's so true. And we are judged by our actions, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Rourke Bradford, who was a great, he was known as the Black Mark Twain. He wrote back in the 20s, and he wrote a lot of, took a lot of Bible stories and wrote them in Southern dialogue. Matter of fact, if you ever pick up a copy of his book and find it in some obscure library, it's funny to read the Bible stories that he describes. But he once had a saying that I've always loved. He said, "We got a lot of people out there that are mouth Christians. We need more heart Christians."
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that.
And yeah, and so whenever I see somebody that's not walking their talk, or that's not coming across as authentic, I think, and they make a big deal out of the fact that I follow the teachings of Jesus and the Bible, I think, man, I hope you live them.
Right.
You know,
right.
I hope you don't just talk them. You know, and we're exhorted in the Bible to be, you know, doers of the word, not just hearers. And so I think this whole authenticity thing really is biblical, really is a mandate from God that we be who we are, who he made us to be, and that people see that. And people, we're not perfect. We don't claim to be perfect. We don't need to be perfect. And we won't be perfect this side of heaven. But I think being authentic and being real is a good start towards being the salt and light that God would have us be in the world.
Yes. And with the purpose issue, I know that I've asked people, you know, "Do you know what your purpose, you know, what God created you for?" And they give me this look like, no, you know, have you ever asked somebody that? Because, you know, do you know what your purpose is here on this earth? And you know, it says in the Bible, you know, love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body, and love thy neighbor as thyself, and everything else will work out. Okay, I get that. But some people don't even know how to even begin to figure out what their purpose is or what their passions are. And I think our passions are a really good guide. And so what are those passions? It's something where you just feel so deep about. And, you know, I ask employees when I'm interviewing, I'll say, what were you good at school? What did you like to do in school? Because usually we like to do things we're good at.
Right.
And we get better grades in things that we're good at. Now, obviously, we're not taught in school how to be a better mother or a better daughter or a better wife, which I wish they had classes like that. I think it would be very helpful because right. we don't get that. All we get is, you know, from our family of origin, where, you know, where we came from. That's what we know. And a lot of the times we're saying, I'm never going to do that when I'm a, have you ever said that? You know, I'm never going to do that when I'm a mother. And then you find out you do it. So the purpose thing is, if you're asking yourself, what is my purpose? A good gauge, would you say, is what are you good at?
Well, what are you good at and what do you really enjoy doing?
Right.
You know, where it just feels like you're in the flow and that things are clicking. And those are good guides. You can also ask, you know, this comes back to your personal accountability system of having people in your life that really understand you and know you. You can ask them, what do you see me as being good at? What do you see me as contributing? And get them to be honest with you and ask for that kind of feedback. And there are other instruments out there that counselors and therapists have that will help you, can kind of help you, you know, figure out what you're good at and what you like. But all those things are part of the mix. I tell you, I go back to, we use a lot of movies in our training and in our teaching programs. And one of the ones that's one of my favorites is the movie City Slickers. Mm-hmm. And if you remember from that, several years old now, but if you remember that movie, it's a movie about, for those of you that haven't seen it out there, it's a movie about a burned-out advertising executive in New York that goes off to go on a cattle drive in Montana with his buddies to kind of chill out and kind of get his, because his marriage is having problems, his work is having problems, he's frustrated, he's not really clear on his purpose, and he's lost his vitality. So he goes out to the country, as many of us do, to kind of regroup and kind of try to figure things out. And that's not bad, by the way, to go on a retreat or to go out and find some solace or some time out in nature to try to figure these kinds of things out, like purpose. But he goes out, and on the cattle drive, he meets a grizzled old cowboy named Curly. And they're out riding the range talking, and, you know, Curly figures out that he's kind of burned out and kind of looking for purpose and mission. So at one point, they're talking about life and love and relationships, and Curly says, do you know what the secret of life is? And this is a grizzled old cowboy. This is not some intellectual, some PhD in something. And the advertising executive, whose name is Mitch, says, well, no, I don't. And Curly holds up one digit finger and says, it's this. And Mitch responds, your finger? He says, no, one thing. And he says, well, what's that? He said, well, when you have the one thing, then everything else kind of fades in, I'm paraphrasing here, everything else kind of fades in consequentially away from that one thing. That one thing is central and it's important to you. And so Mitch asks the provocative question that we all ask at some point in our lives, what's the one thing? To which Curly responds, that's what you have to figure out. And that is the work that God has given us, by the way, is to figure that out. That's part of the fear and trembling that we work out our salvation with that Paul talks about. We have salvation if we're a Christian, if we're a believer.
Yes.
We have salvation. It's
yes,
a gift.
We do.
We've been given that. But we're asked to figure some things out. And one of the things we're asked to figure out is, what is my purpose here? Because when God gives us the homework to figure that out, and we go and figure that out, it means much more to us than if he just told us.
Yes, absolutely. Lessons that we personally learned, they go deeper. We feel it more, don't we?
Yeah.
So some of the characteristics of personal authenticity, I would say being a person of our word.
Yes.
Being
absolutely.
Honest.
Yes. Doing what we say we'll do. Boy, don't you wish everybody in the world did that?
Yes,
don't
I do.
Don't you wish more people in business did that? Don't you wish people in government did that?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes, I do. Yes, yes, yes. What are some other characteristics? Are there some that we have not mentioned yet that we should probably mention?
Yes, I think so. I think being a person of your word is one. Being a person that's responsible is another one. Many of us abdicate responsibility today. That's a mantra we hear a lot. You know, Flip Wilson euphemized that in the old Laughing series many years ago on television when he said, the devil made me do it, you know. And we often blame the devil for things, by the way, that the devil doesn't have anything to do with. It's our own personal failings. But when we try to abdicate our responsibility and shift the blame to others, our boss, our relatives, our acquaintances, society, the government in general, people like to complain. And when they complain, they very rarely complain about their own personal ability to step up and be responsible. They often blame it on somebody else. So I think personal responsibility is a major biggie. And when I go into companies to speak, one of the things we often talk about is the fact that as employees, we need to be responsible for providing value to the customers and value to the people that pay us. And as managers and leaders in a business, we need to be accountable to those employees and make sure we're serving them so that they can serve the customers. We're giving them the resources they need. We're giving them the support they need. We're giving them direction they need so that they can do a great – and then getting out of the way so they can do a great job in serving customers. And when it comes to friends and relatives and other people in our lives, you know, it's the same thing holds true. We need to be responsible. If we say we're going to do – if I say I'm going to do something for you, I'm going to do it. You love country music, right, Sue? You said you love
country
songs. I do.
I love country music.
Hey, one of my favorites is a song out there by Tracy Lawrence called You Find Out Who Your Friends Are.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, and for those of you, again, who haven't heard it, the lyrics go something like this. You find out who your friends are. Someone's going to drop everything for you when you're in trouble or when you have a problem. They're going to jump in their car. They're going to hit the gas. They're going to get there fast. And they're never going to stop to think what's in it for them.
Right.
And they're never going to say it's way too far. They just show up with a great big heart. That's when you find out who your friends are. And, boy, a truer word was never spoken.
That's true. And when you move. When you need help moving,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, when you ask for help. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree more with you.
Okay, so you said be responsible. This is the Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5. You said be responsible. Are there any other characteristics that you can name?
I think one more, and that is to realize that that we're on a journey here. We're just passing through. We're on our way to an eternal state at some point, and a higher ascension as beings. And while we're here, it's incumbent upon us to learn all we can, and to teach and share with others what we learn. I think all of us are teachers in some sphere of influence, and I think all of us are learners throughout our life. And I'm amazed at people that have what I call hardening of the attitudes, which is you reach a point where you think, I know everything I need to know. I'll just coast from now on, you know. And we're not – God never designed us to coast. God designed us to continue to learn until the day we go to heaven. And then he's really got some responsibility for us with all we've learned. So I think a learning attitude and a learning heart and a willingness to humble ourselves to say, you know, I don't know everything. I don't know, you know, and the more, I tell you, I don't know about you, Sue, but the older I get, the more I know I don't know.
That is so true. When I first started getting into horses, I got these horse books, you know, and I had ran a stables when I was young, and my parents couldn't afford a horse. So I got my horse fixed by smelling and touching and, you know, sweeping and cleaning and doing all the things that horse people do. I got that for 20 horses at 5 to 6 a.m. in the morning on weekends running a stables. And somebody says, wow, you know a lot. And I said, no, the more I read these books, the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. So it's so true what you just said. And another thing you said, and it brought back a memory from yesterday at our company meeting, because I have an assistant that has just been great. I don't think he's listening. I wish he was. But and we were up till 4 in the morning getting ready for this company meeting, and he was just so good about being there with me and working through all of this, because we set a goal, we knew what our goals were, and it just took a lot to put it all together. And he stood by me, and he was there, and he never complained, and it was just so awesome. And the last day, there was something that didn't get done. Out of all that we did, I was like, oh, shoot, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And one of my service managers was standing by, and I said, oh, what happened here? And my assistant said to me, I blew it. I totally forgot. I didn't get it done. And my service manager says, oh my gosh, that is so fantastic. And I said, what? And he says, somebody is admitting they're just, I get, this is so incredible that he's just taking it. He's just, and you're just saying, okay, it's over. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? The problem is when somebody says, oh, you know, he or she, or point the finger somewhere else, and then you just, you know, you can't put it to bed because you're still trying to figure out who, what, where, when, why.
Right.
Instead of just saying, you know what, okay, we messed up, let's move forward, let's keep going, let's brush ourselves off, let's let's get back on it and keep riding. So yeah, that just happened yesterday, and you said, you know, be responsible and take responsibility for your actions. And it's the same thing as, you know, I know people close to me that have been with me a while, and they have such a difficult time just saying I'm sorry. And I just think that it's so, it releases so much to be able to say you're sorry. In fact, you know how in business, in management, they say to criticize in private and praise in public.
Yes.
Well, I did something not so good, and I didn't even realize what I did at my company meeting. Look at me being vulnerable and real.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a mistake, and I did something that I just feel so bad about. And I asked somebody to stand up, and I pointed out some things that could have been done better at his expense. And I was trying to teach everybody because everybody's done the same thing. But that poor guy was standing there, and I just didn't even realize what I did. So this morning I got up first thing, and I made a phone call to this individual, and I just personally said, I am so sorry. And he goes, oh, that's okay. And I said, no, 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 it really is not okay. It's not okay. And I thanked him for his grace because, you know, grace is so important. And you know what the acronym for grace is, don't you?
No, what's that?
God's riches at Christ's expense. Isn't that good?
Like that.
Isn't that great?
It is.
Anyway, so he did forgive me, and I'm so glad. And I think that by me being real and vulnerable and telling him that I realized after the fact that I'd made a big mistake and that I was so, so very sorry and I was going to make it up to him, I know he believes that I'm sorry, and I know that he believes that I will make it up to him. Even if I have to make a public apology to all my employees, I'm going to let everybody know that it was wrong for me to do that, because it was. The guy's a great guy. So anyway, I don't even know why I said that, but I'm sure there's a reason why, because God's in control of this, and I've asked him before we got on to guide what I'm saying. So I'm sure that's why that had to be said. So
it's a very relevant point, and you were asking me what are some other things that we can do to be authentic, and certainly being able to give feedback with grace like you did, and being able to apologize if we screw up,
right?
You know, and be humble about it.
Yep.
And being able to receive feedback from others. I think those are characteristics of an authentic person, because all of us mess up, and you know, we need to fess up when we mess up.
And, I like that.
And we need to make it right. And that, again, not enough people do that. But if you just do those simple things, if you're responsible, if you're clear on purpose, if you're a person that apologizes when you mess up, fess up when you mess up, if you're a person that gives feedback to people because you're interested in their growth, not criticism. There's a difference between giving feedback and criticism, and this is important because we're used to criticism and we all shun from criticism. And so sometimes when people are trying to give us helpful feedback, we react to that like it's criticism, and we rebuff them. Well, we're not going to get a lot of feedback if we rebuff people when they give it to us. You know,
right.
And so we need to understand the difference between criticism and feedback. I give criticism to somebody when I am trying to be one up, when I'm trying to be in a superior position, or when I think I'm better than they are, and I'm gonna use criticism as a way to take them a notch down, and that is sin.
Yeah,
I use feedback when I'm really interested in giving people something constructive that will help them improve and help them grow and help them be better.
Right.
So it's the attitude and the spirit that makes something feedback as opposed to criticism. That's very important because people, we need feedback. I need feedback. I need to know how I'm doing. I have blind spots, and so do you.
Absolutely.
And so when I get feedback, it helps me grow.
Right, and that's good. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is growing. And you know what? I never want to stop learning, and I never want to stop being challenged either, because that's just, I don't know, it excites me. Challenge, business excites me. Dancing, learning new dances and learning new stuff, it all excites me. Learning more about horses excites me.
Right.
So in some of your writings and teachings, you mentioned that we are all heroes. What does that mean?
Well, I think we're all on the hero's journey. You know, people, you know, today one of the big books that people are reading, and a lot of the movies that people are going to, are the Harry Potter series. And the Harry Potter series is, and a few years ago, it was the Lord of the Rings series, you know, Frodo and that crowd. And then several years before that, it was the Star Wars guys. You know what? There's a theme that runs through all those kinds of popular genre classic movies and books that we all read and that we all love. And that is the hero's myth. Matter of fact, there's a guy named Joseph, his last name slips my mind just now. I'll think of it in a minute. It'll come back to me in a minute. But there was a fellow out of Sarah Lawrence University. He's dead now, but he was a professor back there. And he wrote a book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And what he did was he looked at all of those characteristics in all those stories that we love, like Harry Potter, et cetera, et cetera. Joseph Campbell was his name. I'm sorry, Joseph Campbell. And he identified what he calls the hero's journey components. And let me just list them for you. Here's what they are. In those stories, Star Wars, Harry Potter, the Lord of the Rings, Frodo, the hero typically comes from obscurity. He's not a famous person. He just comes, he's just an average Joe out there. He has a compelling mission that God has called him to do, to do something special. And he's afraid to do it. Typically, the hero has a mentor, a wise counselor, or counselors that he or she goes to for advice. With Luke Skywalker, it was Obi-Wan Kenobi. With the Lord of the Rings, Frodo, it was Gandalf. With Harry Potter, it's Dumbledore. So everybody's got their mentors or their wise counselors. Typically, the hero doesn't feel like a superstar or a stud. The hero feels inadequate to accomplish the mission. Is wondering how they're going to do it. They're scared.
Right.
And so God sends them a helper, an enabler, a friend to go with them on the mission. Now, typically the hero has setbacks and failures, and you wonder if he's going to make it or she's going to make it. They're not guaranteed of success, but they go anyway. You know what? I would submit to you that we are all on our own hero's journey, because who am I? Who are you? We're nobodies. We're not big deals.
That's
correct. But we have a mission, and if we're wise, we seek mentors that can give us advice on the journey, and we all feel somewhat inadequate. And so God sends us helpers. He sends us, employees, friends, colleagues, supporters, counselors to help us. We have setbacks and we have failures. I do, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's no guarantee of success, but we're on the journey anyway. We go anyway because that's what the hero's journey is all about. It's attempting to accomplish the mission the best we can. So I would submit to you that we are all on our own hero's journey. We are like Harry Potter. We are like Luke Skywalker. We are like some of these heroes that come from obscurity and end up doing great things at some point in our lives and touch other lives and impact other lives in a significant way in our own sphere of influence because we have the courage to get up tomorrow and go on the mission.
And it's a wonderful mission if we just take it that way. Wake up in the morning and our attitude, I always say our attitude determines our altitude. I love being around positive people. I just love being around positive people, people that look at things and say, I'm having a tough time, but it's opportunity for improvement. What can we do to make this better for tomorrow? And isn't that wonderful? It's just so refreshing to be around people like that. And I'm in the dance world, and there's one particular person that I won't mention, but this person's just always negative. Always negative, and I'm like, wow, this person just needs to get up on the other side of the bed and just look at all the things that person has to be thankful for, our health, being able to eat and have a roof over our heads. There's just so much to be thankful for. We're almost at the end of the show. Mike, you have been so wonderful. I just can't even believe it. It's been so great. I mean, I'm just loving it. I just want to go another hour. There, you had mentioned to me about the personal balanced scorecard.
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Well, yeah. This is something I conjured up a few years ago when I was trying to figure out. We do a lot of training in businesses, and I'm always trying to look at personal applications for these things that we can offer to people in the churches and offer to people in the lay community. And businesses have been using for years something called a balanced scorecard. And what that is kind of like a report card for the business that they look at every month. And typically the parts of a business balance scorecard or a business report card, if I can use that as an analogy, are you have financial measures that you're looking at. You're looking at your profitability. You're looking at your gross sales. You're looking at certain measures of the business on the financial side. You're looking at your internal processes. How fast do things get through and get done, and how efficient are they? You're looking at customer feedback. How do my customers respond to our service levels or our product levels or what we're doing? And typically, you're looking at the growth of your employees in terms of performance evaluations and those sorts of things. So businesses have been doing this for years. And I think one of the things we can do for ourselves just to make sure that we're on track and that we're on the journey and that we're living a life that is a great life is to have a balanced scorecard for life. And the measures there that I often use and recommend that people use are, you know, career and finance is one big, you know, because, you know, it takes money to live, and all of us, have to make money, earn money, spend money, et cetera. So our career and our finances are one area that, you know, give us a measure of how we're doing. How are we? Are we carrying a lot of debt? Are we trying to eliminate debt and accrue assets? Are we managing our career, or is our career managing us? Hey, if I lose this job, I guess I'll have to go find another one. Well, that's not career management. You know, career management is, hey, I want to do a good job doing what I'm doing now, and I got my eye on the next job, you know, in terms of what I want to get some more education or get some more experience and aspire to. I want to always be moving forward.
Mike.
Family and friends is another part of the balance scorecard.
Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
You know what? We've ran out of time, so what I'm going to do is have you back on again. We'll talk about this because
okay.
This is really good things
right.
that we're talking okay. about. It's been great, Mike Hunter, having you on, and appreciate your insight and input. I thank all of you for listening. Until next week, you have a wonderful day and be a blessing to someone. Thanks for listening.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.